Certain observances are important as expressions of faith. You can probably think of some things that Christians should do. For example, attending church on the Lord's Day. However, you need to guard against the subtle danger that can come from religious observances. When we elevate observances and rituals to the point that they take precedence in our lives, we risk missing the personal nature of our relationship with the Lord. Here's Stephen.
I've made the comment elsewhere that over the course of a lifetime, the average person ends up spending about 5 years waiting in line for something, whether it's in traffic or at a restaurant or on the phone. 5 years of waiting. But if that same person, by the way, never missed a Sunday morning church service their entire life, after 70 years, they would have spent just 5.5 months in church. So 5 years waiting in line and only 5 months in church. Do you think God would be impressed? You know, I've met a lot of people who think they're right with God because they go to church just maybe a few months out of their entire lifetime. So what impresses God? How does somebody get right with God? By going to more church services, maybe being christened or baptized in church, or maybe inviting people to come along with you? Well, the truth is, you'll spend more time sleeping in your lifetime than you will ever spend doing something good. So again, the question remains, how do you get right with God? Well, now here in Romans chapter 4, Paul has brought to our attention two men that the nation Israel would think were right with God, Father Abraham and King David. They were two of the most prominent men in Israel's history. But Paul has pointed out that the pages of the Old Testament reveal Abraham and David were sinful men. They were guilty of lying, adultery, polygamy, murder. Even these two men did not deserve to go to heaven. But so far in our study of Romans, Paul has made the point that these men were indeed right with God. They were justified by God through faith alone. Now, at this point, Paul anticipates the audience saying, well, okay, Paul, you've shown us that these two men, you know, they were sinners, they sinned against God, but just don't forget, they were circumcised. They had the physical mark of the covenant, and so God would have automatically blessed them with salvation. Well, here's what Paul writes in chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. Now, this is critical here. What Paul does is remind his Jewish readers of the historical timeline. Abraham was circumcised when his son Ishmael was 13 years old. Abraham was 99 years old, and all of that's recorded back in Genesis chapter 17. But if you turn back to Genesis 15, at least 14 years earlier, we read in verse 6 that he, that is Abraham, believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. In other words, God justified Abraham by faith. And if you do the math, Abraham was made right with God 14 years before he was circumcised. And that's Paul's argument here in Romans chapter 4, where he says in verse 11, Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. I got to tell you, this is stunning news here. Abraham was right with God years before he was circumcised. Circumcision was the physical sign of the covenant God gave Abraham and his descendants, and Abraham received that mark long after he was counted righteous or right with God. So here's what's happening. By the time Paul is writing this, the Jewish people had forgotten the purpose of the sign, and they'd become enamored with the sign itself. The rabbis were even teaching that circumcision would save someone from God's judgment. There's a Jewish commentary called the Midrash, and it records that God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised should ever be sent to hell. You might remember the confusion over this issue of circumcision that nearly divided the early church in Jerusalem. In our wisdom journey back in the book of Acts chapter 15, we watched the debate, we heard the discussion as to whether new Gentile believers had to be circumcised as they came into the church. Well, they convened a council, and then the correct decision was made to allow Gentiles to become full members of the church without being circumcised. So if righteousness was not gained by circumcision, well, what was its purpose? Why did God demand this of Abraham and his descendants back in the Old Testament dispensation? Well, Paul answers that question here in the first part of verse 11. Again, Paul writes, "Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith." Now, carefully notice those two words. Circumcision was a sign and a seal. Now, a sign points to something more important than the sign itself. Think of it this way. If you've been traveling home all day and you're tired and hungry, you're going to be happy to see that road sign that tells you your hometown is, well, 20 miles away. Now, you're not going to pull over and park by that sign. You're not going to go hug that sign. That sign is pointing to the truth that home is just ahead. The Jewish people had forgotten that this sign of circumcision pointed to the fact that God had chosen to establish his covenant with them. It was the sign of their covenant, and that home, well, that's the promised land, was just ahead. Let me illustrate it another way. My wedding ring is a sign that I'm married. I belong to somebody else. Now, I'm not in love with my wedding ring. I don't talk to my ring. If I do, you need to call somebody to come help me. If I lose my ring, that doesn't mean I'm not married either. So likewise, circumcision was a sign that Abraham belonged to God. But a person today can belong to God with or without circumcision. Now, the question for Paul here in verses 9 through 12 is this important question. Did circumcision save Abraham? Well, the answer to that is absolutely no. Paul also describes circumcision not just as a sign, but as a seal. Well, back in these days, a seal pressed into clay or wax was attached to documents, and it authenticated them. That seal today on your passport is a declaration of your citizenship. Circumcision was given as a physical seal. What's that mean? It means it's communicating the fact that the Jewish people were citizens of the Jewish nation. Now, what they failed to understand was that having a physical seal did not guarantee a spiritual relationship with God. That comes by faith alone. What about today? Well, today, followers of Christ in the New Testament dispensation have been given a spiritual seal as well. Paul writes over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, "When you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So here's the rather stunning point Paul is making here in verses 11 and 12 in Romans chapter 4. Abraham was actually right with God long before he was circumcised. Abraham is now the representative, the father, so to speak, of all who believe. Paul writes here, "All who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." So don't miss this important point here. Nobody is right with God by means of circumcision or, frankly, any other religious ritual. It is by faith alone in the Word of God. Well, just think about Abraham's faith in the Word of God. He never saw the complete fulfillment of God's promise in his lifetime. Abraham never owned any land in what is modern-day Israel except for that little field with the cave in which he buried Sarah, his wife. Abraham also believed in Jesus the Messiah without ever seeing him in person. We don't know how much God revealed to Abraham concerning Jesus, but Paul writes over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 these important words, that God, who would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." Well, certainly, as the Messiah descended from Abraham, Jesus is indeed the greatest blessing to the entire world. Today, everyone who believes in Christ then are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, not because of any physical lineage or mark, but because of spiritual life created in us by the Spirit of God, who has sealed us until the day of our final redemption. But with that, we're out of time for today, beloved. Until we set sail again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called today's lesson, Getting Right with God. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen is teaching through all 66 books of the Bible to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. Join us each weekday for a new lesson. Would you be interested in receiving occasional text messages and updates from Stephen? Or maybe you'd prefer to receive email? Well, we'd like to be able to communicate with you. Stephen sends ministry updates and words of encouragement to those who are on our email or text list. If you're not receiving those, please sign up. Visit wisdomonline.org/email. That's the address you'll use to sign up for both email and text updates. Once again, it's wisdomonline.org/email. Of course, once you're signed up, you can send Stephen a text or email as well. We'd enjoy interacting with you that way. But again, to receive ministry updates or words of encouragement to help you in your Christian faith, get signed up today. After you've done that, explore our site and browse the thousands of resources we have there for you. I'm Scott Wiley, and on behalf of Stephen, I thank you for listening. We're glad to have you on this journey with us. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.